where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And now it is time for Joey Stivert with joinamble.com. So Joey bootstrapped a healthcare and telehealth empire to more than $1 billion. And he's going to share with us his secrets because this is a really regulated industry. I don't know how you did that, Joey. Welcome to the show. I am dying to hear this.
So I started out in 2014 with that $8,000 credit card that we talked about in a little 600 square foot office space that I lived above in a 800 square foot apartment. That $8,000 credit card was the website, the inventory, and about 10 boxes of things to sell. So in the early days, it was, you know, we had to sell $8,000 had become 16, 16 had become 32, et cetera. Those first couple years in business were incredibly painful. First month, couldn't pay my rent. I think that was kind of a pivotal hard point for me. I had to go back to my family and borrow $1,200 to pay my rent at the time. You know, the silver lining was I didn't have any other opportunities. There's nothing to fall back on. There was no safety net. Failure wasn't an option. So in those early days, and for the better part of 10 years, it was, you know, 4 hours a night of sleep. You work, you work, you work. And then when you're done working, you go figure out, you know, more opportunities of how you're going to make money, how you're going to grow the business, and how you're going to scale it. And that seems to compound over the better part of 10 years to the point where someone looks at it and it's like, oh, you're an overnight success. That happened so quickly. You know, but I think I lost about probably 10 years of my life and health through that decade of work to get me to that point. Although it looks like, you know, a compressed little sweet story, the timeline's a lot longer.
Yeah. So what do you think was your biggest challenge?
Coming from my background and situation, you know, I wasn't bankable. No institution wanted to touch me. If the starting line was here, I was 50 yards behind it at ground zero to start the business. So I really had to go out there and prove to everyone that I was doing things the right way, that my business was real, you know, and that I wasn't some fly-by-night company or entrepreneur that was trying to take a shortcut in building these businesses. And like I said, those early days of growth are painful. When you don't have outside capital, you can't buy a forklift. You can't lease, you can't sign a five-year lease for a warehouse. You are your lawyer, you are your researcher. You don't have, you know, you don't bring in a CPA or accounting or software you don't need. So you have to do everything yourself. That's probably the rough part of the entrepreneurial journey that, you know, I think a lot of people forget now, because, you know, a lot of new entrepreneurs, they want, you know, an office space, you know, who's going to be my accountant, you know, I'm going to sub out the design and hire this firm. But when you're bootstrapped, I think this kind of resonates with, you know, Ryan a little bit, you have to do all that yourself.
I can certainly empathize with that. That's pretty much how Gearhart Law started too. And we went through the same process. You know, you had to do everything yourself. And sometimes it was tough. You had to do, you know, the marketing and the sales and the work and the collections. Tell us about your business though. What does it actually do? What products do you provide to people? How does your structure facilitate that?
Yeah, so 10 years in, I founded JoinAmble, which is Amble Health, on kind of the backbone of MinuteMD, another telemed that I own. COVID really propelled telehealth, and we took a model that we understood, and Amble made it better. Just more connection to access to doctors, cheaper pricing. At the time in the market, all of our competition, they had a bunch of hidden fees, kind of deceiving price structures. We got rid of all that. It was one price. This is what you pay. This is all you ever pay. Really streamlined the process for our patients. And we came in and just disrupted the market at a time when, you know, patients were kind of being passed around from company to company, one offer to the next bad offer, and you know, slowly kind of turning into a bad patient for how they were being treated. We really kind of, you know, stepped in there and, you know, like I said, really disrupted the industry.
But your company then is a telehealth company, which means rather than patients going into seeing a doctor, right, they can see the doctor remotely. And so your company provided the computer support, the digital support, security, record keeping to make that happen. Is that
right? Right. We're a facilitator, right? So we're a glorified Shopify that connects all of the pieces together. So a patient comes to our website for whatever treatment modality they need, whether it's hormone, anti-aging, weight loss, obviously a hot subject right now. We connect them with a licensed doctor in their state, and that licensed doctor then treats, you know, at their discretion, prescribes. It then goes to a pharmacy partner of ours. Pharmacy partner makes the medication or dispenses the medication direct to the patient's door.
To their patient's door? So
yep.
How long does it take to get the medication?
Some medications are specialized and need to be compounded or made. Others are ready to dispense. So next day, second day air. I mean, we have patients that come in midnight on a Saturday night, see and talk to a doctor within 50 minutes. They're prescribed at 1 a.m. in the morning. Pharmacy makes the medication the next day, and it's landed, you know, at their doorstep in 48 hours.
But they could get the medication from their own drugstore too, right? If they want to.
They could, but there's a lot of hurdles with insurance, PBMs, all kind of the nuances. You know, you still have to find time, go to your doctor, pay a copay, get referred out for lab work if they don't have it in their office, go to a pharmacy to fill it. Pharmacy doesn't have it or your insurance doesn't cover it and it needs a prior authorization. We've kind of cleaned all that up for our patients.
So what is your client demographic like? I guess, you know, older folks have more medical problems, but they yep. might be a little less comfortable using technology. So how does that balance out?
You would think, but I really think COVID just propelled telehealth by like push it 10 years into the future with its yeah. kind of use case. Our demographic is 18 to 70. I mean, we have patients all shapes, sizes, colors. For us, our entire mission was affordable, accessible medication. I think now more than ever, people are a little bit frustrated with big pharma, the cost of drugs. Everything seems to be more about the money than it is the actual patient care. Yeah. There seems to be kind of a wealth gap in, you know, accessible and affordable medication. And that's really what we set out to fix.
What if the patient, though, has an issue that's not really addressable through medication, but maybe surgery is appropriate, diagnostic testing? What happens at that point?
There's always going to be a situation where someone gets referred out, but, you know, through a pretty robust dynamic intake, connecting with the doctor, we only work with MDs, so no PAs, NPs, highest level, you know, medical doctor. You know, I think in most cases, the doctor can kind of discern and use their best judgment to say, hey, there's too many potential contraindications or concerns to treat you via telehealth. You just need to be seen in person for X reason, but that's part of it.
So how does it work? Do they go to your website and fill out a form?
They go to our website. It starts with an intake that's, like I said, it's dynamic. So question A, if you answer a certain way, you know, prompts a different question. It's when you look at it from like a development coding backend, it's like a giant just spider web of thousands and thousands of possibilities for every way that a different question can go into the next. And, you know, at that point, we gather, you know, identification, any prior prescriptions, any drugs they're on, and kind of bundle that up nice and clean for a doctor when he's reviewing it and connecting with the patient. He already has everything in front of them. And at that point, that's kind of like the second layer where the doctor looks at it then and says, okay, based on these questions or these answers you had, answer this for me, you know, or I need confirmation of this prescription. Send me a picture because I need to see what dosage you're on. And that kind of is how the, I guess, treatment kind of continues to a point of potentially being prescribed something.
I'm just looking at our show copy here. It says that there's a category, anti-aging and wellness.
Yep.
And it looks like there's five different types of treatments for different aspects. It's NAD plus injections, ceramorelin therapy, glutathione injections, Lipo-B and Lipo-C. Can you tell us a little bit about those and what they treat and are they effective?
Well, yeah, everything has a varying level of effectiveness. A lot of it is, you know, by way of how you ingest it. I'll give you an example. Oral glutathione, whether it's liposomal or how you take it, almost completely destroyed by the gut. Glutathione, you know, most people call it is the master antioxidant, helps your skin, detoxification, oxidative stress in your body, all really good things. However, when you're taking the liposomal tab or capsule that you buy on Amazon, it's just not terribly effective. The next level of that would be an intramuscular or subcutaneous injection, which is what you're looking at on the site. Obviously available only via prescription, you know, a little bit different than the dietary supplements online. Whereas that, via that administration, the effectiveness is just you're bypassing the liver, you're bypassing the gut. All of a sudden, the drug is able to work. And the other side of what I'm getting to is glutathione via IV is even more effective. Obviously, we can't you know, give someone an IV in their home. But all these drugs, depending how they're, you know, ingested, injected, put into the body, work in different ways.
Ryan, do you have any questions for Joe?
How did that original idea evolve over time for yourself?
Starting Amble, we were one of the first to move on kind of the weight loss craze with MinuteMD in like 2019. This is mm-hmm. before the Kardashians were talking about the GLP-1 medication. It was on the front page of every magazine. You know, we came out, we captured a lot of the market next to one or two companies, and then we just saw this flood. Like there was like 500 new companies overnight, just like that. And by that point, we were in it for, you know, a year plus already, and we knew all the pain points. We're like, hey, this sort of lab testing is cumbersome because patients are sending back these test kits and they're clotting and then they have to redo it. Or patients, the queue is too long and they're signing up and they're not hearing from a doctor for 2 days and they're canceling. So mm-hmm. we took all the pain points in the business and just went and knocked ourselves off, you know, technically. We went to compete yeah. with ourselves. Like, and I guess the philosophy was for every one patient we would lose from the original MinuteMD business, we would take nine patients from our competitors. So wow. we knocked ourselves off, made a better version of our site, better pricing, better process. And that's kind of where we fit in the market.
I love telehealth because when I feel really sick, last thing I want to do is get in a car and go wait in a doctor's office.
Yeah, I mean, most things, like 98% of things can be diagnosed via like a phone call or like digitally. Like there's really not a lot of things your doctor actually needs to see you in person for, short of like hands-on, touching, physical, even blood work. They can just send a requisition. You don't necessarily need to go in and sit there with 10 sick people, you know, for an hour in the middle of your day to get that done.
It's interesting because, Elizabeth and I share the same general physician, and she's older school. She generally likes to see us. I try to get a telehealth visit anytime I can because, you know, I can sit there and do emails while I'm waiting for her to show up. The meeting takes 10 minutes and then we're done. So from my perspective, being a busy person, I don't really want to take the time to go through and do all of that. But she seems to be a little reluctant to fully embrace the telehealth model. I'm just wondering, are you aware of any reasons for that other than just that's the way she's always done things, or is have something to do with insurance or anything like that?
It's a mix of everything, right? I think people are creatures of habit. If your PCP is a little bit old school, you know, or been in practice for a long time, telemedicine was a scary place. In 2010, if a prescription drug showed up at your door, you'd probably call the DEA or the police, you know. It just seemed wrong. It's like, how did this get here? For a lot of primary care, I think it's maybe, like I said, a couple, maybe twofold, right? If they don't have a relationship with a good compounding pharmacy or a good distributor, they don't have any place to send these scripts through to kind of facilitate the telehealth portion. Mm-hmm. The other side of it is if they're scripting compounded medication, like a Walgreens, Rite Aid, you know, traditional pharmacy can't make that. So that doesn't fit. And if you're calling in just a generic or brand name drug, you know, they go to the pharmacy. And then in our case, if someone was prescripted a brand name GLP-1 medication, you're going to go to your pharmacy and your insurance they're going to deny it and say, why does this patient need a drug that costs $1,200 a month? Show us a history of this patient using a metformin that costs 10 cents a pill for 6 months and why that didn't work. So it's really kind of a game with the PBMs and all the layers on top of, you know, or I guess under insurance between a prescriber and getting a patient the actual drugs that they need for treatment.
Well, this has been a really great conversation. So people can go to your website, which is joinamble.com. So if you're too sick to get out of bed and you need a doctor, it's there waiting for you.
As long as you can pick up your phone.
This has been Joey Stiver. Yeah, thank you, Joey.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.